Take your Bibles and let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verses 1 through 10. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. This is the account of the feeding of the 4,000. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your ministry to us, your presence with us, and we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we come before your word at this time, we pray that you would speak afresh to us. And give us ears to hear you and hearts to receive you, and may we be mindful to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, feeding of the 4,000. And there's kind of even a... I mean, when you think of feeding miracles, which do you think of? Feeding of the 4,000 or feeding of the 5,000? I'm guessing most of you think of the feeding of the 5,000. In fact, the feeding of the 5,000, that one is in all 4 Gospels. The feeding of the 4,000 is only in Mark and Matthew. Now, Mark realizes something as he tells the story, that this is kind of like a repeat. He almost says, "Here we go again." If you look at the first verse, you kind of get that sense a little bit. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Okay, or some translations would say, during those days, again, a large crowd gathered. So here we have this sense almost of, with this word another or again, like get ready, it's going to happen again. Here we go. Now the question is, or at least a question that we can wrestle with a little bit, is if here we go again, why do we go again? Why does Mark and Matthew with him, why do they bother to tell us about the feeding of the 4,000 when they've already told us about the feeding of the 5,000? And notice that it's the 5,000 first and then the 4,000. So why do we need this one? Why do we need to tell about it? I mean, Jesus did so many things. And in the Gospel of John tells us Jesus did so many things that all the books in the world couldn't contain them. And so the gospel writers have to make a decision about what they're going to tell about, which miracles they're going to include, how they're going to put it together. And so one of the questions we have as we come to this is, why does Mark bother to tell us about the feeding of the 4,000 when he's already told us about the feeding of the 5,000? Maybe a clue is to begin to think about what's different. What is different about the feeding of the 4,000 from the feeding of the 5,000 that kind of shouts out to Mark, you still got to tell about this? Okay, well, what's the difference? Say it, somebody. 4,000 versus 5,000, there's about 1,000 different. Okay, just making sure that somebody's awake, picking up on the difference between the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. And I have Josh with me, and the rest of you are already thinking about the Charger-Raider game. Or lunch. as the feeding of the 40 goes. Now, but seriously, aside from 1,000 being different, what is different about this miracle from the feeding of the 5,000? Kelly?
Didn't he have less this kind of work with than he had before?
Not exactly. Because before, how many loaves did he have?
Five. That's right.
And how many loaves does he have this time?
Seven.
But that is a difference. From 5 loaves to 7 loaves. I saw a hand over here.
He's in a different place.
You want to expand on that?
Well, it says that he crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Tiberias.
Okay. Now, I'm going to come back to that. And I'm going to come to yours, Kelly. Mario.
Well, they've been with him for 3 days without nothing to eat.
They have nothing to eat. Okay, versus the feeding of the 5,000, he looked upon the crowd and he had compassion upon them because why? They were like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, now, so I think all of these things are important. Richard, what were you going to say?
In the first account, he invites them to a solitary place so they can be with him, maybe pray or whatever. And here, it's to have compassion, it's to give, it's to meet their needs.
Okay, yeah, so the first time Jesus was with the disciples and they were actually trying to take a retreat, and the crowds heard about them and showed up, and he sees them and his heart breaks for them. He has compassion for them because they're like sheep without a shepherd, and he teaches and then he does the miracle. And here he's been in this region of the Decapolis on the other side of the lake and he's been teaching them for 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and he has compassion upon them. Very good. Anything else you want to do with it? Yes. Okay. Yeah, we read about that boy, especially in the Gospel of John. But there they find the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And here, it's the same question though. And how many loaves do you have? And there they had 5. Here they have 7. Any other differences? And then we're going to try to pull all this together. Kelly? Yes, they were. They came. He can't send them back because many had come from a distance, from afar. Very good.
It was also the Jewish Passover was near.
Okay. Which one was that one near?
That's in the word. It's
5,000. 5,000. So it's near a Passover meal. Yes.
On the first account, he tells his disciples, feed them. You give them something to eat.
Yes.
Here, he just asked.
Okay, but what happens? He still gives it to them and tells them to do it. So even though he tells them the first time, you feed them, in both places, he still ends up having them feed them. I think that's important to pick up on. Any other differences?
Less left over.
Compare that. What do we got? Yes. Now your question is tricky. I don't know if you realize that or not.
Probably not.
But in the feeding of the 5,000, while there are more baskets left over, that word for basket is actually a smaller basket. Kind of like a lunchbox type basket. Versus here you have 7 baskets, and the word here for baskets, it's like a large basket.
There were 12 baskets left over in the 5,000.
Yeah, and we might even go so far as to say there were 12 plates left. That there were 12 lunchbox size baskets left. Now, but pick up on 12, and that basket was something that was kind of a common Jewish household item. Whereas here, in the feeding of the 4,000, this word for basket is kind of a more generic term, a more common term, not something that would be strictly like a Jewish household item. And it's a larger basket, like a rope basket or a basket that's woven. I mean, they said that these baskets could be, you know, the word here depicts all kinds of sizes of baskets. And so some translations try to pick up on it in terms of large baskets. Now, what are you thinking? What's the difference?
In the first account also, the disciples answer, it would take 8 months' wages and years. They said, where are we going to get so much bread?
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of get to the miracle faster here. Kelly?
I'm putting together here, it seems like where there was more people, he started with less, had less left over, whereas he got, as there were 4,000, there's less people, he started with more and had more left over.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's some of that in there. Let me tell you where I think all of these differences are kind of pointing. And I think kind of the first place to start is location. Okay, where is Jesus? Have you been tracking? I know it's been weeks, but remember he left there where in a Jewish territory where the Pharisees from Jerusalem had come up to talk to him about clean and unclean. And from there he went to the region of Tyre, a very unclean, a very Gentile area. And then from there he went up through Sidon, more Gentile, unclean area, and down around to the other side of the lake in the region of the Decapolis. Again, that's Gentile territory. And so in the midst of that Gentile territory, we have the feeding of the 4,000, whereas the feeding of the 5,000 took place in Jewish territory. Now, who do you think was at the feeding of the 5,000? Primarily Jewish people. Jesus looks at them and he has compassion about them because they are sheep without a shepherd. And in the Old Testament, Israel is constantly referred to as sheep. And they need a shepherd. And their king was supposed to be a shepherd for them, and their kings were bad. And finally, there's the prophecy in Ezekiel where God says, I'm going to have to come down and shepherd my people myself. And you know that over in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about how I am the good shepherd. And so in the feeding of the 5,000, it looks like it's primarily a Jewish group. Sheep without a shepherd. But what do you think we have here in the region of the Decapolis?
More Gentiles.
And notice what it says about the Gentiles. Notice what it says about this group. They had nothing to eat. Now think about that for a moment. They had nothing to eat. Back up a couple Sundays. Back up a couple stories. Jesus is in Tyre. The woman from, the Greek woman from, where was it? Syrophoenicia. Okay, and she's asking Jesus for a miracle for her daughter. And what does Jesus say?
Well, that was what he talked to the
neighbor. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. You remember?
Yeah.
Well, what'd the woman say? What'd the man say? Well, I mean, what'd Jesus say? Jesus is the man.
He said, don't give the bread of the children to the dogs.
Yeah, and so who eats? Who doesn't have food? The Gentiles don't have anything to eat. The Jews do. Okay, the Jews have Torah. The Jews have the revelation of God that has come through Moses. The Gentiles, they've been without food compared to the Jews. And so Jesus looks upon the Jews and he has compassion upon them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. He looks upon the Gentiles and he has compassion upon them because they have nothing to eat. Are you with me on it? Are you seeing it? Now, again, I don't know what to do with all these numbers here. But how many loaves? I mean, back in the feeding of the 5,000. You guys got to read my mind.
12
basketfuls left over. How many did they start with? 5 loaves. Okay, feeding of the 5,000, 5 loaves, 12 left over. When you hear 5, what do you think of? Don't say foot long. When you hear 5, what do you think of? Somebody said it. 5 books of Moses. Torah. Okay? And so, and when you hear that there are 12 basketfuls left over and you have 12, again, don't say foot long, what do you think of? The 12 tribes. Okay, so feeding of the 5,000, 5 loaves, 12 Jewish baskets left over. It's happening in a Jewish area. And we could push that further, but it looks very much like, you know, like Jesus is for Israel. The shepherd is here providing for the sheep. But now we're in another region, and we have how many loaves?
Seven.
We got 4,000 people. Now, I don't know everything to do with the seven. Scholars debate about what to do with the seven. Mario, what do you do with the seven? Seven days for all of creation, the Sabbath rest, and so there is a completeness to it.
And also everyone's included in that.
And that's probably the direction I would tend to go with it. There are kind of other options out there in terms of possibilities, like over in Acts, some scholars will point out that you have the seven deacons appointed to take care of the Gentile, the Greek-speaking Jews over against the 12 apostles. But I'd probably go more in the direction of this wholeness. Okay, and then some would go that there's 4,000 and four would represent kind of the four corners of the earth. But this sense of wholeness, that the dinner, the feast, is for everybody. What else do we want to do with this? I got to put my glasses on to see my notes because I have no idea where I'm at. Okay, we got that. Oh, where do these people come from? Did you pick up on it? Somebody did earlier. I don't remember who said it. From far away. Okay? They came from afar. See, if I were Jesus, I would have just said, let the little children come to me. But they came from afar. Who comes from afar? The passage that Richard just read to us over in Ephesians. Go ahead and turn over there with me to chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Could I retranslate that? He came and fed those who were far away and those who were near. He came and brought a banquet, the feeding of the 4,000, to you who were far away. And he came and brought the messianic banquet to you who were near, the feeding of the 5,000. Do you see it? And so and that is why it is so important for Mark to make sure that even though the feeding of the 4,000 includes 1,000 less people, that in the feeding of the 4,000, he's got to tell the story, because it's Jesus preaching peace to those who are far away, to those who are distant. And I think all of the little clues in here kind of point to that in terms of the region, in terms of the baskets, in terms of the number of loaves, We could go on and on. But it all kind of points in this direction that what this is about is the banquet coming to the Gentiles. It's not just for the Jews. Now, those of you who were here a couple weeks ago, remember when I worked with the passage where Jesus is asked by the Syrophoenician woman to heal her daughter. And Jesus' response was, it's not right to take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. And the woman comes back and says, yeah, but even the dogs get the scraps, the crumbs that fall from the table. Well, what do you have happening here? This isn't crumbs. That it's the banquet. And it's for all peoples. And it's kind of a capstone of what's been going on in this section of Mark, where Jesus is taking the gospel into Gentile territory, and it's Gentiles who are being blessed by the gospel. Okay. Now what do we do with it? I think there's a few things that we need to take to heart here. First of all, I want you to pick up on the actions of Jesus. That Jesus takes the loaves that they have, gives thanks for it up to God, breaks the loaves, breaks the bread, gives it to his disciples, and his disciples pass it out to the people. Okay, and he does basically the same thing here as he does in the feeding of the 5,000. The prayer is slightly different. Feeding of the 5,000, he blesses. Here, he thanks. But everything else is the same. And so what it is, it's the same banquet. Okay, it's not some different banquet that feeding of the 5,000 they have, and I think I heard somebody say something to the effect, it's not that they have superior bread and now we're getting inferior bread. That it's the same action of taking, giving thanks, looking up to God, breaking, and distributing. Everybody, all peoples, have a part of the banquet. We could spend some time talking about the role of the disciples in this, offering themselves, but I think even more important would be this sense of communion, this sense of Eucharist, this sense of the broken bread for all peoples. And indeed, when we celebrate communion, that's what we're doing. We're remembering that Jesus gave himself, this is my body broken for you. And it's for the world. It's for all peoples. Not just Jews, not just Gentiles, not just one people group, but for all peoples. And Jesus involves the disciples in that. And so while Jesus is the one who brings the banquet and Jesus is the bread of life, yet Jesus involves disciples in distributing, in feeding, in helping others out with it. Now, here's how I think we need to go with it, or the places where it kind of challenges me. For Mark, well, let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of them. We pray that you would have your way and that you would work redemptively. Amen. For Mark, he can't leave this out because it is so important to recognize that Jesus comes for all peoples. And most likely at this feeding of the 4,000, it's not just Gentiles there, that there are Gentiles and Jews there together. It's not strictly a Gentile area alone. And so we could expect that there are Gentiles and Jews there at the table of Jesus having fellowship together. It's so important for Mark to communicate to his church that the unity of the church is rooted in what Jesus himself did. that Jesus is at the center of that unity, that Jesus is at the center of this one new humanity that's created around him and eats at his table. I think that's what Mark is trying to get at here. Now, in terms of how that impacts us, it's important for us to pick up on that truth. That the banquet, the gospel, Jesus is for all peoples. And that all eat and all are satisfied. And there's not one that's privileged above the other, that everybody's there, equal access to God, Spirit poured out upon them all, as Paul talks. And here's, our practices need to match that. Okay, it's one thing to have the feeding of the 4,000, and it's one thing to talk about how the banquet's for all peoples. But then the next step is, as a church that preaches this and believes this, do our practices match it? And that becomes an ongoing challenge for us. That we really practice this. That we don't privilege one group above another group. But we really practice this unity, this one new humanity that we see here at the banquet. Now we have all kinds of kind of demographics here. All kinds of people groups here. Okay, and it's one thing for us to talk about the feeding of the 4,000 and Gentiles are included and all people have access. But in our practices, we need to make sure that we don't privilege one group ahead of another. That we don't privilege college students, that we don't privilege people from work furlough, that we don't privilege people from the streets, that we don't privilege people that are African American or Anglo or Latino or Filipino, but that we really recognize that the banquet is for all peoples. And that we are one new humanity in Christ. And our practices need to match up to that truth. And we need to pray that the Spirit would convict us wherever our practices don't match up. And so I think that's one of the first places where this hits me. Is, do our practices match up to the meal? Okay, and so the way that we practice dinner on Friday nights, do the practices of that dinner match up to the practice of this meal, the feeding of the 4,000? So that with the Thanksgiving dinner coming up, so that our practices, the way we do that meal, matches up to the feeding of the 4,000. To our children's ministries, our Bible study ministries, our youth ministries, all the different things that we do, our practices need to match up to that meal. Okay, that's one of the reasons why we have three different worship bands. That's one of the reasons why we sing different kinds of music each week, because we're not going to privilege one group's music over everybody else's. Okay, we really need to match up to the feeding of the 4,000, where all people are included, to where it's one new people. And that doesn't mean we get rid of cultural identities or who we are and we just kind of become this melting pot with no identity. No, but it means that we celebrate everybody. That all peoples are there and our common identity is in Christ Jesus. Our practices need to match the feeding of the 4,000. And I have a feeling that sometimes we don't make it to the feeding of the 4,000, we just get stuck at the feeding of the 5,000. And we only think in terms of our own kind, rather than making the journey to the feeding of the 4,000 of the Gospels for all. Okay, stay with me. Just got a couple more things. The second one. This is why we engage in evangelism and mission. It's about the feeding of the 4,000. It's about those who are far off. This shows up in different things. But yesterday, All Skates Day. Okay, and so we have the ramps up. We got the amps up. The gates are open, and kids come in and skate, and Jose shares his testimony. Okay, for those who are far off, okay, they got nothing to eat. And our basic understanding is that apart from Jesus and apart from his feeding, everybody else is starving. So all the kids in the neighborhood that don't know Jesus, they don't have the bread of life. They're starving. They're far off. The fall festival with all the games and everything out here. Why do we do it? Well, bottom line is we look upon the neighborhood and we see people who are starving. And the candy isn't supposed to be the meal. The candy's just kind of the hors d'oeuvre. Maybe not the best of hors d'oeuvres, but an hors d'oeuvre nonetheless, because we want to feed them the bread of life. So all the different things that we engage in, all the different things that we do in terms of outreach, we recognize that the people without the bread of Jesus, they're hungry, they're starving, they have nothing to eat. And most of them are eating stuff that will kill them. They're eating poison. And just as Jesus has compassion and wants to feed them, wants them to be satisfied with life, the bread of life. So that becomes what drives us. That same compassion that we look around and we see a world, we see a neighborhood, we see people that have nothing to eat. And they're dying. And that's also why we engage in mission way out beyond ourselves. It's why we engage in sending money to support missionaries. That's why a number of you have gone on mission trips overseas and south of the border, around the world. It's because people don't have anything to eat. It's because they're not feasting on the bread of life. Feeding of the 4,000. I see the feeding of the 4,000 in terms of communion. I see it in terms of Friday nights. I see it in terms of men's breakfast. I see it in terms of the fellowship that we have after church on Sundays. This feeding of the 4,000 in which all are included, even the ones who are furthest off. And the truth is that we've all been pretty far off. But in Jesus, God brings us near. And in Jesus, God feeds us, gives us bread for life, and then does the most amazing thing, calls us, sends us to invite others to the feast. I'd like for us to close this morning. Vonda, if you would lead us, and Alex, if you want to join, and Charlene, and maybe Danny, jump on the drums. But he brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. And so if you would sing that, and if you know what, you're welcome to join in. I invite you to come to the Feast of the 4,000 and receive communion, receive the body, the broken body, the bread, receive the cup, return to your seats, and we'll take communion together. And would you say?